It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In another study, we looked at the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. We also touched on the subject of His ascension. And we looked at a fourfold purpose of Christ waiting 40 days to ascend to the Father. Well, the first purpose of this 40-day period was to convince the disciples of the reality of the resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 speaks of that. And then the second purpose of the 40-day period was to communicate truth about His kingdom. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about that. And the third purpose of the 40-day period was to confirm the promise of the presence, of His presence. In John 14, verse 18, it says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Well, and of course, we know that He sent the great Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to abide with those people He was speaking to at that point and at that time. He has also spoken that to us today. And we have the Spirit of God if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the fourth purpose of the 40-day period was to command His disciples and His apostles. And this commandment is, of course, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, the solemn commandments given to the disciples comprise what is generally known as the Great Commission of going into all the world and preaching and teaching about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 speaks of that. Well, the Lord has ascended and gone back to heaven. And He says this, well, He predicted that, and we know that the Bible is the Word of God, and He said He would go back. And we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, where it says, "And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven.'" Now, we could compare this with the second coming of the Lord, and we could say that He's coming back, and of course He's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. You read about that in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, and you read further in the New Testament, and you see where He's coming back. I look at this, and I see Him going up into the clouds in my mind's eye, and we could look at this as a second coming, but I look at it as the rapture of the church, when He comes back in the clouds. And we know that by studying the Scriptures and comparing Scripture with Scripture that Jesus is coming back for those of us who have trusted Him during this period of time, the church age. Well, we're known as the Bride of Christ, the church. He's coming back for us. That is not the second coming. That is the rapture of the church, when we will be caught up together with Him. And we'll go up. He'll say, "Come up hither," and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds. The Bible says to be forever with the Lord. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 51, it says this, "And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Well, He ascended into heaven. The ascension of Christ marks the division between the earthly and heavenly ministries of Christ. Christ is not just sitting around in heaven. He has a ministry there. He's not just sitting there, and we use the term twiddling His thumbs, but He's doing something. The Gospel of Luke ends with the account of the ascension. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Well, the book of Acts begins by mentioning the ascension. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 once again, "And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Well, you know, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, if you're a Bible student, you understand that these two books were written by Luke the physician. Is it any wonder then that as the book of Luke ends with him being carried up into heaven, the book of Acts starts by mentioning the ascension of Christ, him being carried up into heaven? See, our Lord's ascension took place in broad daylight in the presence of many witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 once again says, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Well, there's a thought that comes to mind here. What about people living today who claim that they have seen Christ or have seen a vision of Christ? Well, I learned a long time ago, you can't argue with something that a person says happened to them. You can't argue with an experience. I do not believe in arguing anyway. I simply present the Word of God. I do not believe the Bible teaches that you and I today will see the Lord personally until He comes back for us. As you think about the question, what about those people who claim to have seen Him today? Well, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." In John chapter 20 and verse 29, it says, Jesus said unto him, this is to Thomas, and you go back and you read about the old doubter Thomas. He said to Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Well, these people are missing out, the ones who say they have seen Christ right now. They're missing out on a great blessing, not only by saying that they have seen the Lord, but once again, you can't argue with something that a person has experienced or they believe they've experienced, but they are missing out on a great blessing because it says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says this, "Therefore ye are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Well, we don't have to see the Lord with our physical eyes in order to have the faith to believe in Him. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, therefore, I depend upon the Word of God in order to see Christ. And I'm guaranteed a blessing when I see Him through His Word. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet who believe. Now, the ascension of Christ was an event that was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures. Someone said, "You can't go by the Old Testament. That's under the law." Well, the Bible points to Christ all through the scriptures. The Old Testament, and we understand, is unfolded in the New Testament. We go back to the Old Testament, and in Psalm chapter 16, verses 10 through 11, it says this, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One," and that's Jesus, "to see corruption. Thou wilt not, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Many other verses now, if you go back to the book of Acts and you compare this with Old Testament scripture, Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 36, if you compare that, you'll see this is mentioned in the Old Testament. Psalm 68, verse 18 says this, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Well, the ascension of Christ was predicted before it happened. And we go back and we read these verses and we understand that it was no surprise. Jesus was not surprised that he was ascending back to the Father. The Father was not surprised. The Holy Spirit was not surprised, and we shouldn't be surprised, because all through the Word of God, and especially these verses I just read, speaks of his ascension back to the Father. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this, "Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high," and it's taking place according to the Bible right now, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The Bible says this, that it took place. In Psalm chapter 110 and verse 1, it says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Well, when are the enemies going to be made the Lord's footstool? It's when he comes back the second time to set up his kingdom. Remember, we said that he schooled the disciples about the kingdom. They wanted to know about the kingdom. So therefore, we understand that when his enemies are made his footstool, that's when he comes back the second time, not in the rapture of the church, but he's coming back to set up his kingdom, and at that time his enemies will be subdued. Well, where is he? In Psalm chapter 110 and verse 1, we understand that this is a very significant prophecy concerning Christ, because it is directly quoted in seven New Testament passages. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 44, Mark chapter 12, verse 36, Luke chapter 20, verses 42 through 43, Acts chapter 2, verses 34 through 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, and Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. And it's also mentioned indirectly in several other passages. Well, you can see, for example, Matthew 26, 64, the ascension of Christ. Well, remember, he was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected on that third day. He was seen by over 500 people. We've already looked at that in the Word of God, if you've studied the Word of God, and he was seen by over 500 people at one time. He's alive today. He's alive for you, and he's alive for me. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, let me invite you to do so right now. He's waiting for you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know him as your Lord and Savior. And you know this, if you had been the only person living on this earth at this time, Christ would have died for you. He died. He came into the world to seek and to save those who are lost. And before you can be saved, you've got to realize that you are lost. You've got to realize, as the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all means all. Not just some, but all. Had you been the only person on this earth, you would be all. If there were billions of people, which there are, it says that he died for all. And all those people who will trust him as Savior will be saved. And he's the only way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you admitted, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself, but I believe that your gift, Lord, the gift of God, is eternal life through you, through Jesus Christ. I receive you. I receive the gift of God today. I know I can't save myself. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you right now on this earth. Please come into my life. Please come into my heart. I receive you into my innermost being. I receive you, Lord, the best I know how at this point in my life. I'm trusting in you to save me and take me to heaven." If you'll pray a prayer like that, God says he'll save you. Mean it in your heart, and one day I'll see you in heaven with the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.